Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today, I don't know why I thought that was funny, but okay. Today we finished the book. We finished The Will of the Many. Exciting.
Huge.
We've been on this one a while. It was a good time. But make sure you finish the book before you listen, because we're going to be doing spoilers aplenty. But before we do,
I'm going to get us warmed up, Luke, because I have a quandary for you.
Okay. Love a quandary.
It's a little bit about human nature, a little bit about psychology. Okay.
Oh, wow. I'm good at these. Yep.
So here's the deal. At the dog park, playing with a bunch of dogs, right? Mm-hmm. New guy walks up, brings his dog. I've met them a few times. Howie's here. Everybody say hi to Howie. Great. Look up at the guy. I can't remember his name. Why do I know the dog's name, but I don't know his name?
This is normal. This is normal to me.
Luke,
completely.
I know that it's normal. My question to you, why can I remember the dog's name, but I cannot remember his name?
This is so funny, because haven't gone to the dog park in a while.
Yeah.
But we would do the same thing. We would be like, oh yeah, that's, and then it would be like, the dog's name's Parrot or something like that.
Why does this happen? Because here's the thing, Luke, I want to add some extra piece of information here. I ask people their name first. I always do this first, because everyone expects me to find out what their dog's name is. And I say, no, we're human beings. The dogs don't give a shit. I want to know what your name is. And then you can tell me your dog's name. I make a point of it. Even so, I'm looking at this pair and I'm like, I know your dog's name. I have no idea who you are. It could be Frank. It could be Harry. It could be, there's so many names it could be, and I have no idea.
Right. I mean, I think it's just like, we're just so focused on the dogs all the time, in a good way.
Yeah.
To be clear, where it's not like, when I'm like interacting with other dogs or at the dog park,
yeah,
it's my conversation with my partner or whoever, it's like 95% about what all the dogs are doing.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And the other thing is that you have to call out your dog's name somewhat frequently.
Okay. Fair.
Right.
Fair.
So you're hearing the dog's name in a loud voice much more frequently than you're hearing people's names.
Okay. Counterpoint, Luke, the dog's not going to be socially weird if you don't remember its name. Like, this True. Man, I can promise you. So here's the other component about this guy. Okay, because I have a specific person that introduced this thought into my head, but it happens all the time.
Okay.
I have seen this guy probably 30 times. Or he lives in my neighborhood. Now, not in an opportunity.
But he's new to the dog park.
Okay, I say new. This happened to me months ago.
Okay.
The reason why it came up, though, is somebody else who I know at the dog park, who I did learn his name because I practiced it over and over again. He was like, hey, do you remember Howie's owner's name? And I was like, no. And he's like, yeah, I see him all the time and I don't remember his name. And I was like, me neither. And if I'm being honest, it took me a while to remember your name, sir.
Yeah.
Luke,
I mean,
do we need to pressure each other to remember names better? Because, like, maybe if this guy was pissed that I didn't remember his name, I'd be like, gotta remember. The dog doesn't care.
That's just true. The dog definitely doesn't care. I will say I'm terrible with people's names,
mm-hmm.
regardless of whether a dog is involved or not. To where, like, I'll introduce myself, and then I'm like too focused on my own.
Yeah.
I think I've said this before. I'm too focused on my own social interaction to like actually listen to what they say that their name is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it immediately, I'm like down for the count within seconds.
Totally. And I think with a dog, it's also more challenging, because whenever I meet somebody who has a dog and I have a dog, my main thing is like, making sure my dog isn't freaking out. Like, I get we have to say some words, but I really need to make sure that the dogs can introduce, like, get introduced properly so that they don't have a disaster that happens.
Right, you're like laser focused to make sure that there's not a confrontation happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I feel like, why do I remember Howie? Why does this happen to everybody? I get that we yell. I get that we yell the dog's name a lot. I think that that's a key component here.
I do think I'm way better at remembering dogs' names than people's names.
I think so too. Like, I think even if they said the dog's name one time, I would remember it. It happened with another dog. I have a catalog of dogs in my head. Sophie. Yes. Sophie is another one. Actually, her name is Sophia, I should say. Sophia is another dog. I don't know their owner's name. Talked to them like 6 or 7 times at the dog park, and now I can't ask. I mean, I can, and I probably will next time I see them, but, like, I'm going to feel bad about it because I'm like, I remember your name, your dog's name, sir.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. I feel like because the problem with asking someone else's name after it's been, like, multiple conversations is that there's no graceful way to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the fact that you remember the dog's name gives you a little bit of an opening to make it less awkward.
Doesn't that make you feel kind of bad, though, if you're like, hey, I remember your dog's name, what's yours again?
No, I think it can turn into a funny thing. Now, the problem is you'll end up doing this several times, but every time you do it, you'll pretend like it's the first time, right?
Teach me, Luke. Like,
you know what, this is crazy and funny, but I obviously know your dog's name, insert dog's name here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you say, like, but I can't remember your name. And then you laugh, right?
Yeah. Now,
and then you're laughing together. And then they're like, yes, that's funny. And then they tell you their name.
Does it make it more or less funny if they officiated my wedding?
More. Okay. For sure. More.
Good. Okay. I think this is good advice is just truly always good advice is to just acknowledge the thing that's funny, like we're doing right now, to them directly.
Yeah. People are normal if you interact with them as if it's going to be normal.
Right. And honestly, he probably forgot my name too.
Yeah, exactly.
But if he didn't, it's going to be a little embarrassing. Right. Like, I kind of hope he forgot my name, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be polite, honestly, if you forgot your name.
Yeah,
then you can be on level footing.
That's actually so true. It would be rude of him to respond with my name.
Yeah.
So true.
You reciprocate.
Well, thanks, Luke. Okay. I appreciate your advice there, your insight into the human mind.
Of course.
Always welcome.
I'm always here for that. Okay, let's talk book.
Let's talk book, Luke. Can we end it on sus? Can we start on sus?
Okay, yeah.
So I just want to point out here about we were roasting Viz last time.
Yes.
For his positionality among the locals on sus.
Yeah.
And I think it's telling that when he encounters his dad's former advisor, the dude is like bowing profusely to him.
Right.
Okay, people don't just bow of their own volition. People bow because they are threatened by a ruling class. Like, I don't bow to people I respect. Okay, I shake their hand. I say, it's so great to see you. I don't bow. Bowing is born out of authoritarian, like,
well, it's very hierarchical, right?
Yeah. Come on. And I do also appreciate the author inserting here, like, hey, no form of government's perfect. We get that, like, yeah, them being a kingdom isn't great. And, like, the king having this little discussion with Viz at one point. You know,
I have a note about that.
I know we're gonna get to it. Okay, we'll get to it after. I just want to point out them bowing is like, okay, clearly there's a hierarchy here, and it's even ingrained to the point where, like, he's not your ruler anymore.
Right.
But you're still bowing to him like he wants you to. Like, you think he wants you to.
Right.
Not good. Not good.
I mean, something kind of... It's kind of weird because they seem to, at least from the storytelling perspective,
yeah,
have been really good rulers, I guess.
Well, couldn't have been that something, good.
Something similar that happens when he goes into the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this.
And,
yeah.
And they give him like a meal fit for a king or something, or like the traditional meal,
yes,
for a king or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just give him a good meal. He's
right.
Not your king anymore.
He's not your king. He was literally deposed, and now your life is worse because he wasn't good enough at his job. Frankly, if we're being honest, he wasn't good enough at his job to protect you. The sort of one of the jobs that a king is supposed to do is protect you,
right,
from outside incursion. Couldn't do that. Maybe if he had sent, like, I don't know, an ambassador to this big empire that could have gotten in with the, like, head emperor of the hierarchy.
Yeah. Maybe have a little love triangle or something.
Yeah, maybe, like, protect your little satellite out there in the ocean. But instead, oh, looks like he was bad at his job.
Okay. Can we talk about this conversation?
Yeah.
This past conversation that he has with his father.
Yeah, this apology on being a monarchy.
Well, I'm trying to remember because I have a note on a conversation where he's talking about the difference between the hierarchy and the monarchy.
Yeah, this is where he's talking about it. He's sort of explaining why it's okay that they're a king.
Yes.
He's explaining why it's okay that they're a monarchy, and that's better than the hierarchy, which is a different thing.
Yes. And his big argument is that, like, the hierarchy rewards greed.
Yes.
And, like, and he really focuses on the word greed, I think.
He does, and there's another word he uses, which I think is really interesting. He refers to it as the weak ruling the strong. Because
yes,
he refers to these people who are really greedy as, like, weak and, like, doing whatever it takes to secure their position.
Yes. And this is another one kind of similar to something I said last episode.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, so we're just saying things now about people generally. What do you mean they're like, it reward? He doesn't offer backup evidence for this at all. Like, I could understand the argument if you're like, it rewards ambition.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's kind of what he's getting at.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't think it's a good argument.
You're saying he's not explaining why their system is different from the one that currently exists on Sus. Like, why somebody, like, what's different about their system? Because you could imagine, I could imagine that this monarchy got into place because maybe your ancestors did things to shore up their position on the island. And even now, you squash any kinds of rebellion. It sounds like maybe you just have a monopoly on power on the island, and there's no competition anymore for who the rulers could be, so you don't have people constantly jockeying and competing for authority anymore.
Right.
And it sounds like you've set up a dichotomy where you claim that the bad thing about the hierarchy is that the weak rule, and the weak being these people who are all greedy. But it sounds like what you've got is you're saying, yeah, but the strong should rule, right? We should have only the strong as the ones in charge, right? Maybe neither.
Right.
Maybe both is bad. Maybe you could think of a different alternative to that.
Well, okay, I mean, yes. But also, like, what? You're just saying weak and strong.
Right.
And, like, the argument for you being strong is, like, your genealogy.
Oh no! Oh no, Luke!
Right?
Yeah, did they go? Is he really trying to make the argument that they're a superior breed of people on the island?
I mean, okay, hang on, because not necessarily the island, but like his
genetic line.
Like him.
Yeah.
He's saying that he is strong.
Yeah, correct.
And he's juxtaposing this with a different form of government when his is a monarchy. And so this boils down to, I am strong because of my like ancestry.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's dumb.
Oh,
and then he's like and then the hierarchy, those people are weak because they fought and clawed their way to the top through intense competition.
Right, clearly not strong, clearly weak.
It's a dumb argument.
It is pretty bad, but Luke, he's such a good king. Everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. I think it's also telling that they talk about what he did as a king, where he literally rendered judgment on stuff.
Yeah.
Show me those people who he ruled against, who are like, actually, I think he's a fucking asshole. Actually, like, he gave my dead sister's property to her asshole husband instead of me, her brother, when, like, right. That was like a 1989 Mickey Mantle baseball card that I gave her for her birthday. It belongs to me. I don't know anything about baseball. I just made up the year. So if I made a mistake, then just tweet at us.
Yeah, please tweet at us.
We're definitely still on Twitter. But my point is, anytime you're doing a government and you're making judgments about shit, you're going to have a fair number of the people who are like, yeah, I think he's an asshole. I think he ruled against me in a way that is bad.
Right.
But Viz is like, yeah, I sat in. Most of the time it was boring. So his dad gets to be a good king because apparently all the decisions were uncontroversial.
I guess we're just going to go all in on this, but this is like his big example of what it means to be king.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, the main two things are, you have to listen to people's like problems and rule and disputes.
Yeah.
You should delegate that, first of all.
Absolutely.
Because you should be doing higher level stuff. And then also you have to walk into town occasionally and eat at a restaurant and see if people are happy.
See if they feed you fit for a king, or
and that and
is
listen,
it trash.
And this is what makes you strong.
So it makes
it's
you
why monarchies rule
and hierarchy
and
rules.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, the thing that really got me riled up about this is that like there's not like, obviously there's no actual comparison between like the hierarchy and democracy, for example,
mm-hmm.
but his critique, the king's critique, is relevant for democracy.
Correct. Yes. Because it's about competition. It's about the fact that anyone could be the leader. It's just whoever sort of fights their way to the top. And gets, now obviously the way they do it in the hierarchy is not democratic, but at least there's competition. At least there is the possibility for someone else to be doing the job who's not just genetically related to the dude who has it now.
It's a lot of motivated reasoning for my guy.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, it just turns out that I'm the strongest when you think about it.
It's also
I'm better than you.
He also just is like, I might not be a good king. You might not be a good one either. And it's like, hey, maybe follow that thought. Maybe continue that thought out and think, well, how could we make the system better if we might both be bad kings?
Should there be some mechanism?
Maybe we should let people try. Maybe we should educate everybody on the island to potentially be in charge of governance.
No, we need all the teachers for Viz.
It's true. And they can't have more than one student in their class. Otherwise,
of course not.
He's missing out on the specialized attention that he gets.
Exactly. He's got to learn how to play chess.
You need small class sizes.
That's right. That's critical. Okay. There's Sus.
Yep.
Do you have anything else on Sus?
No, let's go back to the island. A different island. Let's go back to the academy now.
The academy. Actually, all of my notes are like kind of towards the end. Do you have something close up?
Nope. I'm also near the end.
Okay.
We get to this.
Let me just do a quick summary.
Iudicum or whatever it is.
Say that again.
Sorry. Give us a summary and then get us to the Iudicum or whatever the event is that happens.
Okay. So just a quick summary so that we're not just jumping.
Mm-hmm.
So they get back to the island. He's still in fourth. He tricks Belly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the first time I'm saying that out loud.
Yeah, it's tough, but it is right.
That's a bad name. Okay. Into playing him in chess for high stakes.
Well, it's called Foundation, but yeah, basically chess.
And he wins, and they switch places, and now he's in third, and then he trains really hard. And then it's time. Oh, and we also learn, right, that Belly has double crossed mm-hmm. our guy Calidus.
Yeah, and in the chess resolved. Game, he sort of tricks her into getting the stuff back. And honestly, like, I don't think he should be that upset about this move he did. I think perfectly justified to be like, yeah, I fucking tricked you because you were shitty. So I just did it back.
Yeah.
Done.
Got him. Okay, and then of course he and Emissa are dating, kind
mm-hmm,
of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. Train, and then we come to the. I've been calling it Iudicium.
Yeah, that's probably better. Iudicium sounds good.
Which is the big finale.
Mm-hmm. It's the Triwizard Tournament / whatever that thing was in the Red Rising where they all have to fight /
well, it's basically all of Red Rising 1 condensed.
Yeah.
Except less intense.
Like three
except
chapters.
Except, and this is my next note, except instead of a cool fight to the death thing, it's capture the flag.
Yeah. Well, which turns into a fight to the death, so.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes.
What do you think about the game? About it being kind of a slightly more complicated capture the flag.
Right. I think
my note, because I,
yeah,
not to put you on the spot, is that I don't, what is this testing?
Well, they claim it's testing your ability to lead people, even if they have motives that go against yours. Right. Because they gave everybody a cool incentive.
Right.
So, like, if you can still get them to help you or at least use them to win, then you're good at being a top dog, I guess.
Okay.
I think.
Yes. It's not what I would choose to do. Like, I think here's the thing. You could come up with a reason why you would run something,
mm-hmm.
like back calculate it. But then if you were like, I want to test their ability to lead people.
Yeah.
You'd probably come up with something different.
I think the other problem with this is it's always assuming a zero sum for things.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes you can work together because your goals align. Like sometimes you can all benefit from a thing.
In fact, that's what you should be going for.
Yeah. Times. We should be finding a way that we can all share in the wealth rather than like everyone is fighting each other all the time and only one person gets to win.
Right.
Maybe that could lead to some bad policies, perhaps. Maybe it could lead to a non-functional government, one that's, I don't know, currently shut down. Anyway, I don't know how that relates to anything, but I mean, it does feel very on brand, though, right? It feels very on brand with their, like, yeah, everybody just needs to fight each other all the time. Like, we're interested in who is the top of the pyramid.
Well, I mean, kind of, but... like, not actually, though. Like, in this class, in the academy, they haven't really fought each other.
What? What do you mean? Because how did... like, they rise by not only people doing poorly, but also just kicking their ass. Like, literally, Viz kicked somebody's ass to go up from...
Yeah, but that was, like, a very unique scenario.
He did it with Belly, too!
That was an outlier. But, like, he... Okay. Like, Viz has had some weird ones. Viz is kind of an outlier in a lot of these. But, like, the rest of the academy has been just, like, schoolwork plus the labyrinth thingy, whatever.
Okay.
Like, there really hasn't been fighting.
I think this is only partly true, Luke, because I think it's designed for you to try and do it more like Viz than, like, the other people are doing it. Like, I think Viz's experience is what they were intending with this.
Okay.
Where it's like, yeah, I think they would look at Viz's rise and be like, yeah, he did it good.
Like, sure.
Because I think the other way to do it is, and I think that is how it naturally came about, is, like, I think when people have power, it tends to concentrate at the top. So, like, the top scorer is the dude whose dad is, like, the head honcho of governance or whatever, or military. But also, we see it with, Kaladin? Who's
Calidus.
Kaladus. Kaladus, the only reason he's in 7 and not 3 is the blackmail that Belly had on him.
Right.
So, like, it sounds like Belly's doing it right. It sounds like Belly is using these sort of fighting, like, cheating, sort of attacking other people for their advantage.
Sure.
And otherwise, he would be in 3. He would be chilling, doing his homework, you know?
Right. Okay.
And so it feels very much on brand to me. Just not how it's been going for the Academy.
Okay. I guess maybe. I mean, I feel like you're thinking a little bit more thematically than I am. Whereas I'm thinking, like, literally, what have they been doing?
Yeah.
And it's like,
this is actually very schoolwork. Okay. I think here is where I agree with you. If I was a student in this circumstance and they said that this was the challenge, I'd be like, why the fuck was I learning will mechanics for 2 months?
Yeah.
Why wasn't I learning, like, battlefield tactics and strategy? Like, how is this related? How is this assessment that you're giving me in any way correlated with any of the stuff we've been learning?
Exactly. This is what I'm trying to get at.
Okay. Yeah. Now I'm on board, because as an educator perspective, this is not correlated at all. You've not been preparing them to do this work.
Okay, let me come back to something that we have talked about in the past, which is that the point of this school is not to educate, it's to rank.
That's right.
And I guess maybe where, now that we've talked about this, I'm realizing that they have already completed their rankings on the schoolwork type stuff.
I see.
And so now they're like, okay, we know the rankings of that. Now we need to rank them across this other category.
We need their greed ranking. We need to figure out who's the greediest of all of them. Because that's how this society works.
Apparently, yes.
Do you think that Viz's dad is actually really upset at him for winning? Because he's like, ah, son, it turns out you were the greediest of all of them. I thought I was raising you to be strong, but it turns out you were the weakest.
Probably, but also, like, it's not. I mean, it's a game. Like, it's not literally just we've found a way to measure greediness or something else.
Yeah.
It's like they went and got the thingy and brought it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of lame.
Yeah, it's a little bit uncool. Yeah, I also think, like, it feels like you could use some of the skills you've been training them a little bit more. Like, it feels like you... Honestly...
I would have gone with, like, a tournament that does, like, different competitions.
Yes, yes.
Across, like, 3 days.
Because thinking about it...
A Triwizard tournament, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because as it's set up now, you're really strongly incentivizing, like, strategic thinking. Like, are you good at foundation or not?
Yeah.
Not, like, would you be good running a government?
Right.
Because you get to pick your post after this. You get to, like, you're not at war anymore, guys. You're not at war with anybody. Anyway. Can we talk a little bit about the labyrinth? Can we move on from the big picture about this game? Sure. So, Viz makes it to the labyrinth again that he visited the first time. Can I just say, Luke, how did he get there?
He did just run there.
Yeah, he just fucking ran there. So maybe we didn't need to do the whole train thing.
And swam.
Okay. Yes, but he did it in the span of like 24 hours or something. He did it in a time period where he could do it and come back and people would be like, oh yeah, this is a normal amount of time for you to have taken on this journey that you took.
That's right. Yes.
So, come on. Anyway, how did Belly get there before him? Because he finds Belly's dead body in the labyrinth. Was there a help me out, because maybe I've forgotten something, but he went like directly there.
No. Okay, so he, their group gets attacked.
Yeah.
By Belly and Iroh in that group, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then they, Aqua goes with them.
Yes.
And then, and they're tied up, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then they have to wait for Aqua to come back.
Yes. For like, it's described as like a few hours, right?
For like a few hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
I guess they steal the tracking plate.
And then, I think Aqua goes to rejoin her group, and then they work on stealing the tracking plate.
Yes.
So there's like a few hours in there.
But okay, I will say, I don't think Belly was gone.
And Aqua does say when she comes to rescue them, I think that like Belly had went ahead to scout or something like that.
You might be right. You might be right. Okay. I will take my point back then. I could not figure out how. It seemed like there was not a lot of time from when he saw Belly to when he was literally running the labyrinth, and he like sprinted there. He was like, I gotta go. But you're right. There was a little bit of time. I don't know why. I don't know why he chose Belly, if I'm being honest. It sounds like...
you don't know why Viridius chose Belly?
Yeah.
Well, apparently she was the best at it. But my note is that Viz goes.
Yep.
And he does a little bit of like testing.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds essentially how it works, where the opposing team are like automatons, essentially.
Yes. Yes.
And so they're like perfectly predictable.
Yeah.
Okay. Viridius, my guy.
Yeah.
You've been just throwing, like, the strategy that Viridius has taken over the last few years makes no sense, especially when like it doesn't seem like there's like an age limit. And so it's like, why are you having kids do it?
You don't think he hasn't already done it?
The Viridius has?
Yeah.
Well, why? I don't think so.
I wonder if he's done it, because remember, he and Ulcasaur's brother and what is it, Latenia?
Something like that, yep.
They did it together, right?
Yes.
So I think he was... I think they all did it.
Okay. I don't disagree there, I don't think.
Okay, so then... I think your point here is valid, though, where... Why not just train them how to run it? You know, it's an algorithm, right? You can learn the algorithm. Just do these steps and you will finish it.
Yeah.
Why not just train your students to manipulate an arm bracer in a very specific set of moves? Why pretend like, yeah, because it's just an algorithm. It's just you do this, then you do this, then you do this, then you run through here, and then you're done.
Yeah. I beat Dark Souls. I watched the walkthroughs.
Yes. Yes.
You can do that. And like, I don't know, like, is his goal just to have someone get there, or is his goal to get like a specific student there? Because if it's just to get there, then it's like you can train them for a longer period of time.
I feel like you could train a seventh to do this.
Yeah, you could train anyone to do it.
Yeah, you could train a monkey to do it. Literally, you could train a monkey to do it.
And it doesn't, you don't have to be done. It does. It's not like, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Which is limited.
Yeah.
I don't think there's like a reason that you have to do it at the end of the year.
Well, because you graduate, Luke.
Dude, get the idea of it being a student out.
No,
okay?
Because no, because they graduate.
It doesn't need to be a student.
No, but they graduate and then they have to go. They can't come back.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So.
I'm open to the idea that it cannot be someone that seeds will or something like that. Or receives will from others, and that's why it has to be a student, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like, hey, we're gonna keep you for a student internship or something a little bit longer so we can train you. Or here's the algorithm. We know how to beat it. As long as you can run this fast and operate these specific things, then it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's cooler when students do it, Luke.
It's true. It is cooler.
So. Also, you probably have to pay their interns in the hierarchy.
True.
Because they're all greedy, you know?
Right.
I guess it also makes sense then why they didn't teach them the language. Like, they weren't learning the languages that were in there because they don't necessarily want... I don't think they want the students to know what it is they're getting into when they pass the labyrinth. But, Viz, this is the same thing we were talking about with the copper plate thing, bud. You don't know what the language says. Don't step in the goo. You don't know what it does. It could, like, flip all your organs inside out or something. Like, this is useful for reheating food. Put some food in here and it'll heat it up real quick. And he just hops in. He's like, no, this looks human-sized. I'm going to get in.
Right.
You listen, bud, you got to learn the language a little bit before you jump in. Okay. I had the same issue when I went to Malaysia. Same thing happened to me. I ordered something and I ended up with half a chicken. Dan is a vegetarian. Okay. So this is on me. I should have learned the language a little bit before going. Okay. Same kind of deal. Same
perfect,
kind of deal.
Perfect
here.
Analogy. Yeah.
But the point, listen, he already knows how to do it. You can go back.
Yeah.
You can go back. You already know how to do it. You know the perfect algorithm to get through the labyrinth. Just here's what you do. Here's what you do. You win the competition, and then you become the principalis of the university. That's the post you claim. You're like, I want to be your job now.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now I run the labyrinth, and I control it. It's mine. Bye. Learn the language.
You gotta learn the language.
You can't jump in. You can't get in the goo without the language. It's literally, there's blades pointing in to the goo.
Especially because, like, he already knows a lot of the language.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound good. Your cool dog friend is like, don't go in there, buddy. It's bad.
Well, but I say that because it's like, I think it's kind of a dead language.
Yes.
But dead as in like, it's not spoken anymore. Like, I don't think it's that hard to learn.
No.
Again, is it?
I mean,
I guess he doesn't have Google. Like, he can't just be like, give me your dictionary translating from whatever.
Right.
But it's doable.
Seems like it would be. Yeah.
I don't go messing with weird goo with swords pointing at it.
It's literally like Blender is what it gives to me. It gives Blender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get in the blender.
You really never get into the blender. I can't emphasize that enough.
We cannot emphasize this enough.
What did you think about the dog?
Glad it came back.
Yes.
Seemed too powerful, frankly. Dude was getting in trouble left and right, and dog was like, "Huh, helping you again. Here we go."
So, is the dog going to be explained more in the next book?
Dog's his friend, Luke.
Because he goes and he's like, "That can't be the same dog. It's way too big."
Yeah.
And then it's just like, "Oh, it is the same dog."
Yeah. Well, it grows fast. Dog grows fast.
It just grows fast. Mm-hmm. And it's really powerful.
A lot of children and, to eat on the island.
And like understands a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did say that they're like somewhat intelligent, so.
Okay.
It's probably going to the dog gym, you know?
Yeah. How big do these, do they keep growing?
Unclear, but dog big, so.
Dog is big now.
Excited for him to ride the dog?
Yes, that's coming soon.
Cool dog.
Wait, did the dog survive? We think the dog did survive?
I think the dog survived. It went off into the underbrush because it attacked the one that was attacking Calidus, whoever his friend was.
That's right. Yep.
It like helped him and then ran off.
Yeah. The dog crushed, came in, flanked. Love a good flanking.
Mm-hmm.
Flanked the zombies.
Yep.
First.
Yep.
To let them get out and then attacked the other like eight of them.
Yep.
Escaped that.
Yep.
And
dragged him out of the water.
Dragged him out of the water. That's right.
Yep.
And then kept chugging along and saved his best friend.
Kind of.
Who he knows.
Kind of. Yeah. Also, yeah. Interesting.
Well, temporarily.
Yeah. Interesting. He was able to correctly identify a good buddy, but, yeah. Seems like a great investment. I'll say for half a gross fish. Once. Listen,
what we got to be mining these guys. We got to be domesticating these folks.
If I was Viz, I'd be out in that forest every weekend from then on with a fish, just being like, "Come on, I got to get a whole
it's easy.
Pack of these.
Just one fish,
one fish, and they'll like do whatever to help you."
It's pretty good.
It's perfect.
I don't think it's fully explained, but it seems like Viz has some extra powers as well.
Yes, so he can like sense where the people are who are imbuing, who are like pulling in will, and also maybe he has telekinesis.
And also he's like really resilient.
He seems to be healing quickly. Yes.
And he survives this big fall.
Yes. And a stabbing.
And a stabbing. Yeah. So something happened.
Something
to make him more powerful.
Happened. And there's a bit of an epilogue that might do something to explain it, but we're going to get there when we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not there yet. I kind of skipped over this.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, he is forming his team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he asks Calidus and Aiden, of course.
Yeah.
And Aiden initially says yes, and then later, after learning more information, I guess, backs out because he says essentially that Viz wouldn't be able to trust him. Right, and we learn a little bit later it's because everybody that's on the team gets like offered something
mm-hmm.
if they
mm-hmm.
win.
Yeah.
And so Aiden does this like super honorable thing.
Kind of. Yeah.
And I'm gonna say I think that this is being like Aiden actually was like, this is a little scary and I don't wanna die.
Yeah.
But I want to make it seem like I'm not chickening out and I want it to be an honorable thing. Because like,
ooh, okay,
you could just not betray him.
Well, Luke, here's the thing, because I think the alternative is, let's imagine that Viridius offers him something, because the idea here is that he offers him something that is so valuable to him that he would like almost, he would be like a bad person to not betray this.
Yeah, but doesn't he offer it to him?
Yes.
Okay.
So I think that's why he backs out, is Viridius makes the offer.
Right.
And then he's like, I can't do this because if I do it and then I don't betray Viz, I'm like a bad person.
Okay.
Now, I think the problem...
But that's the same thing.
Yes. As what I think that's the same thing. I think the other part of it is you get in there. Let's say you all get in the mix and then you go to Viz and you're like, hey, Viridius literally offered to like protect my whole clan if I win. So now it's wrong for you to win. Now we should all be working for me to win, right?
Right.
And now you run into an issue where Viz is like, yeah, but I really want to win. And it's like, okay, but let's think about what would be the better outcome here, guys.
Right.
Like, I think at that point it turns into, okay, we all have to help him now. We can't do
it. It is an interesting kind of thing.
Yeah. Right?
Where it's like, if you're willing to be open with the rest of your team, which Calidus is, actually.
Yes.
It's just that his is like, to me, just less valuable. Like,
correct.
Like, if I win, then I win. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's fine.
It's like, that's the same with everybody, I guess.
But then the other one's like, I don't think we know what Aquas is. But like, it does raise the question where it's like, okay, if you have a team where you trust each other,
yeah,
it's like, okay, what is everyone's thing and which one is best?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You should all be figuring out what's the best offer that we get and then be like, okay, we should clearly go with yours because that's way better than the rest of us. And then just help us out after you win. We're buddies now.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think it's interesting how they tried to get it to where they were turning on each other.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't see any meaningful turns on anybody.
Right.
Like, did any of the fourths actually turn on any of them that we saw? I don't think
so. Well, I mean, like, we see some people change teams, but it never really matters because the thing gets thrown on its head anyway.
This is true. But if you're going to change teams, wouldn't you change teams to be on, like, the weakest guy's team so that you could... Anyway, I don't know. Seems like a weird dynamic. I'm glad it's not how...
Yeah, actually, you're right, because some people change teams just so that they can be on the winning team, not so that they can win themselves.
Right. But, like, it doesn't seem like that would matter that much, right?
It's kind of a mess.
It's a huge mess. And it feels like they tried to add some wrinkles in there to provide the opportunity for people to do weird stuff, you know? Like...
Right.
Like, they intentionally added some weird rules so that you could sort of circumvent them and have a creative solution, which I appreciate, but also it turned into a mess by the end.
Yeah.
And not so just obviously because
you
of the...
Obviously, you throw up the little bead.
Clearly, you throw up the little bead. What the fuck are we thinking?
That one guy's like, yeah, I thought about doing that, but I didn't want to.
But it would have been too embarrassing. And it's like, okay, well, clearly you aren't greedy enough.
You gotta want it more.
Can we talk about a line that happens at the end of this tournament of champions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Viz makes it to the end. He's carrying his dead best friend's body and the sort of triangle thing. He plants it. He spikes it into the statue and then turns to Viridius and is like, you're gonna burn for this. Immediately passes out.
Yeah.
Maybe wait until you're not at the mercy of the like head doctor at the school before you threaten him.
Right.
Maybe you let him do the surgery on your arm that's looking really bad before he has the opportunity to be like, yeah, it didn't go so good. I had to cut the whole thing off and now you're in a much weaker position because you're down an arm. Oops. Sorry, what were you saying about burning me? Maybe don't threaten them before you desperately need their help and are going to be unconscious.
Yeah.
Viz.
It's a good note. Come on, Viz. There's no benefit to saying this.
No, literally none.
I mean, I guess he's maybe we're being too hard on him because he's probably not in a rational state of mind.
Sure, but like, didn't Do we not remember how suspicious that his dad was making him, that three people just happened to walk in when he was unconscious in the bed? Do you remember how he was like, you got to be suspicious of those students who came by while you were unconscious? Maybe they drugged you or put something in your food or whatever. And it's like, okay, great. So I should be really suspicious of anyone who is around me while I'm unconscious.
Yeah.
Don't threaten them before you go unconscious.
Don't do it. Yeah.
You want to compliment
him. He should have better practice at this because he's unconscious like seven times.
So much.
He's got CTE for sure.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely does.
What do we think about Emissa?
What about it? What about her?
So she kind of betrays him, we thought, because she stabs him.
Yes.
But then later, I think Viridius is like, oh no, she actually didn't. She knew that you had contaminated blood.
Yeah.
And so it's okay.
Right.
We don't get closure beyond that.
He said something about her reacting to it rather than her making it. It sounds like her making a choice.
Hmm. I didn't really understand it, did you?
No, but I think that was sort of intentional. It's sort of left open-ended.
Okay.
Because it sounds like it was more of just like a reaction. Because also, it sounds like the blade moved without her doing anything. Like, she stabbed
him. It was like an obsidian blade, right?
Or that, and also she had like backed away, and it was still pushing into his stomach, which made it feel like it was imbued with will. Maybe it was responding like without her intention for some reason.
Okay. I hadn't noted that. So yes.
Yeah. So yeah, there's clearly something going on, and I think it has to do with the sort of ending twist that comes about, which before we get there, Luke, how many crazy heroic things does Viss have to survive before people are like, I'm a little suspicious actually?
Well, I mean, Aqua, for example, was suspicious a lot earlier.
Yeah, but like,
and like several more happened.
Yeah, correct. Like, so many happen.
Yeah,
how many have to happen before I'm like, you know what, I get that this guy's special, but just the odds statistically,
yeah,
how is he doing that? He's got to have help, right? Like, it doesn't take long for me to put the pieces together that maybe this terrorist organization is putting him in these positions, right?
You definitely start working on theories because it's like, okay, this is not real. Clearly, something's going on.
Right. Considering three of these heroic events all had to do with the same terrorist organization and him somehow foiling their plot in a major way that's really public.
Honestly, I forgot about the first one.
Yeah, the train, and then the stadium, and then this other one.
Right.
At a certain point, I'm like, how are they this incompetent about this guy? I'm sus.
Do you think they are? Do you think they actually know?
I think...
You think they're because there could be levels to this.
I'll bet people in military have a suspicion, right? Because they didn't expect him to be able to do this, right? People in military put up this terrorist organization to like cause these two attacks, right?
Yeah.
They aren't anticipating at any point that Viz is going to stop them, right?
I assume not.
So they have to be a little suspicious of Viz, like, hey, he either knows something, like, either Viz's adopted daddy is telling him something, right? That's where I think my first suspicion would go, is that like the Quintus, Papa Quintus, is giving him inside information because they all sort of relate to him. Or the terrorist organization is doing something with Viz.
Yeah.
That you guys don't know about.
I mean, when you think about it, it's like, okay, this terrorist organization is that we've essentially paid to do these things,
yeah,
and given them help with it, and they keep being foiled by this random person who we cannot, who has no background and yeah. is clearly not part of our nation.
This random orphan immigrant.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It is very sus.
Uh-oh. I'd be getting a little worried if I were them.
Yeah.
Anyway, can we talk about the ending bit?
Yeah.
So
what do you mean by the ending bit? The
our
like
epilogue
stuff?
The epilogue yeah. stuff. Okay, so Viz's brain is definitely broken, right?
Okay, so I had to look this up because I was like, I don't understand what this is.
I think there's two interpretations of this, Luke. And in one, it happens to fit with the theory that I've been building, so we're going with that one for now. Viz's brain is fucked, and he's imagining yeah. he's in three different places at once now, right?
After being touched by the sapper.
Yeah.
And also passing out seven times
mm-hmm.
over the course of a year.
He did this like early training version of the labyrinth where everyone moves in really predictable ways and there's a goo at the end, and he stepped in the goo and his brain fully shattered.
Yeah.
And now he's like, he has this dog that's dragging him back to the academy while he's undergoing this weird hallucination.
Yes. I think that's probably the best interpretation of it. Most likely, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause otherwise, this shit is insane, right?
Okay, so I think that it was not clear.
Yeah.
What happened. Yeah. I did look it up.
Ooh, okay. When you say look it up, what do you mean?
I read Reddit comments
okay.
on what happened.
Okay, can I give a little what I think happened outside of my brain-breaking theory, and then you can step in with what people on Reddit are saying?
Yeah.
Okay, what it sounded like to me is there's like three planes of existence, and now mm-hmm. Viz has split and occupies all three, like some other people have done. Like maybe Latenia or whatever the name was of the lady who doesn't have eyes. There's something about synchronicity. I'm imagining it has to do with them all aligning, all different planes aligning or whatever. And it has to do with this like place that he saw when he stabbed his old buddy in the stadium. Like that's one of them. That's like Obitum or whatever. That's what I'm thinking. They're just different realities. And now he's split among all three.
Yes. I think it's something similar where it's like three planes of existence or like three worlds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I maybe him being split is the correct term. I think maybe also like he's cloned or something, but there has to be some overlap, which is why like he loses an arm in each one.
Well, in the first two, in the third, they just cut him. They cut on his arm.
Right. But I think that's like he has to.
Probably.
Because yes. he lost an arm in the other worlds or something yes. like that. Yes. Anyway, it's like a three world situation.
Yes.
It's like Roshar.
Exactly. Okay. Yes. Yes. This is what I was thinking of a little bit.
But
like people who are dead can still be in him.
So this is, I'm not sure. Because
the brother, right? The brother's dead in
right.
Rez, right?
Allegedly.
Wait, did they not get his body?
I thought they had two, but I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Fine.
But like if he's not, I don't know. Because if he's not dead in that one, then he's still there because Viz is in all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something's going on.
Unclear. Maybe it's because he's so strong because he's of a kingly bloodline.
Could be that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty complex ending here. Mm-hmm. This sort of almost takes me into my reviews part of this book, unless you have anything more to talk about.
No, let's do it.
Okay. I enjoyed a lot of this book. I think the ending, for me, was not hitting. For me, the complexity of the ending and the fact that now we're asking way more questions. There's too many questions here at this ending for me. And it's in a way that I'm like, I feel overwhelmed now by what this is potentially going to be in the next books, to the point where it's like, it was just too much. It was too much in too short a period. If there had been a little teaser at the end, I think it would have felt more manageable. But this introduction of these three different places with a little bit, it's almost like they gave too much detail at the end here, because I'm like, I'm like, a small teaser and then introducing these things at the beginning of the next book is like fine. Like that I feel like is good pacing. But now I'm just like, what are, there's too much. There's too much for me to wonder about. And it just gets drowned out. It's a sudden explosion. Exactly. So I think this really threw me out of it here at the end. The dog thing also a little bit too much for the dog, from the dog's help here at the end. otherwise, you know, like I said,
the most powerful puppy of all
time. The most powerful puppy of all time. Big investment. otherwise though, we were having fun. Otherwise a perfectly fun goes to school, young man goes to school book.
Sure. Yeah.
In my mind.
I think probably somewhat similar to me. It was like, I think it was like fine.
Mm-hmm.
Not something I'm going to go crazy over. Because it was an enjoyable read. Love an academy. The magic was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I had the same kind of, some of the same critiques you did. The other thing is that Viz is too good at stuff to me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, he's just the best at everything.
Yeah. Best at fighting, best at chess.
Best at school.
Best at school. Yeah. And all it took was his tutors being really good.
Well, also, as you mentioned, he's part of a kingly line and they're strong.
I forgot about that. Yep.
Because of that.
Yep.
So, and I, this is, it's too small to, for us to be making this big a deal about, but the dog thing I feel like is very clearly like the author needed something to do to come in and save him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it was just not executed very well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To where the author's needs were just so clear for this, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That it took me out of the story a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. It's fine. It's okay. I did a little bit like very Red Rising-y.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, maybe a poor man's Red Rising.
Mm. Mm. Look, I got nothing wrong with a poor man, so I wouldn't say that, but. And this was a way more pages than Red Rising too. So, you know,
true.
Might even be a rich man's Red Rising, I might say.
True. Well said.
But
okay.
Anyway, Luke, let's move on. We're in spooky season. What does that mean for what we're reading next, Luke?
Spooky season means spooky books. So next book is going to be The Watchers by A.M. Shine.
Mm-hmm.
The plan shine. For
Rise and Shine, right. Everybody.
Morning Shine. Huh. Interesting. Anyway, the plan is it's a bit of a shorter book, so I think we're gonna do it in two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You may have noted that does not quite get us to the end of October. This was recently turned into a movie, so we're thinking about doing the book and then an episode on the movie to get us to end of spooky season. So get hyped for that.
That's right, Luke. So we'll be back next week. We'll both be in costume as usual for all of our October episodes.
Yes, we always are.
And we'll be bringing a bag full of hot takes
and still being dumb nerds.